Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. I saw a little grade school age girl a few days ago, and I noticed bright, clean shoes on her feet. And I said, "Those are your back-to-school shoes, aren't they?" She smiled and said, "Yeah, they are." She was ready to start next week. It's hard to believe it's that time of the year, isn't it? Back to school. A lot of you, because of this season of the year, you'll be going to some sort of orientation where you're figuring out where you go and what you do and who you'll be with, who your teacher will be, all that kind of stuff, getting ready to do what you're going to do this year. And we have some of that here in the life of our church in this season as we begin a new church year, a school year. And students move into new classes, and we start new classes for new people. In fact, today, some of you are in Sunday school leadership are going to spend more time at the church than you really want to spend here, right? Okay, getting ready for the new church year. Where do you meet, and what are you going to do, and who's going to be in your class? And those are important questions. But as the church of the Lord Jesus, whenever we begin to ask questions like what, and when, and who, and how, it's always very important that we have clearly in mind, first of all, the answers to the question, why? That's the fundamental question always. Why? It's a question that speaks to purpose. And so I think it's important in this season of the life of our church, as we begin and talk about all those other questions, that we take a little bit of time here in the next three Sunday mornings to consider why we do what we do. What are those fundamental purposes? And a great place to look at that is in Acts chapter 11. The church at Antioch is a great model church. One of my favorite memories from seminary, I was sitting in a New Testament class with an old Canadian professor, Dr. Jack McGorman, and a young, arrogant seminarian said, "When I get out of here, I'm not going to pastor an established church. I'm going to go out on my own and I'm going to start a New Testament church." And Dr. McGorman said, "Which one?" The guy looked at him kind of puzzled. He said, "Which one? You're going to start the church at Corinth, or the church at Ephesus, or the church at Philippi, maybe the church at Laodicea? Which one? Because some of them were good. Most of them struggled." Antioch is the model in so many ways. Of all the churches we read about in the New Testament, Antioch is that great mother church, that missionary church, that really stood for 300 years at the center of Christianity and was the sending point for the Apostle Paul and his great missionary journeys, for the spread of the gospel to the nations. So one of the best places for us to examine when we want to understand who we're called to be and why we do what we do is to take some time to look at the church at Antioch. If you've been paying attention over the last 10 or 12 years, you know that every 3 or 4 years I like to come back to these Antioch texts because they're so important for understanding who we are and why we do what we do. And this morning we're going to start by looking at Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through verse 23, where Luke tells us a story of the beginning of the church at Antioch and addresses this issue of why we do what we do. Follow along as I read. "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch." They were moving north, "speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And when Barnabas arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Why do we do what we do? Well, this morning I want you to consider this Bible truth. As a church, we gather to display the grace of God. There's this fascinating phrase in verse 23 that says, when the church at Antioch was born and Barnabas went there to investigate, he saw the grace of God. That's what the word witness means. He saw the grace of God. He saw something that he interpreted as the grace of God in operation. And this speaks to the answer to that question, why? God's glory is His manifest character. When God's character is revealed for people to observe, that's His glory. When we see on display His grace or His power, His wisdom, His faithfulness, that's His glory. Here, Barnabas went to look at the church at Antioch, and when he got there, the Bible says, he saw the grace of God. Which should provoke us to ask the question, what did he see? Right? What did he see? And that goes to this issue of why, of purpose. Imagine that, some of you don't have to imagine, but imagine that you're bringing a 3 or 4 year old to church. Where are we going? We're going to church. Why? To see our friends. Why? To learn about Jesus. Why? To give our offering. Why? To pray. Why? To sing. Why? Because I said so. See, it's in the heart of people. Why? What's the purpose? Why do we do all this stuff that we do when we gather? And here the Bible tells us that one of the best ways to answer that question, why are we doing all this stuff? Is because we're called to display the grace of God. What's that look like? What did Barnabas see when the Bible says he witnessed the grace of God there in the church at Antioch? Well, in a word, he saw people, right? He didn't, listen, there were no buildings there yet. He didn't see magnificent architecture. He didn't hear great preaching or great singing. He didn't witness a great organization or structure or institution. Here early in the church at Antioch, when he gets there, what's he see? He sees the people. The people. When I was in first grade, Mrs. Meeks taught me to say, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. You ever learn that in Sunday school? You know what? Mrs. Meeks was a heretic. That's not Bible truth. The people aren't in the church. The people are the church. When Barnabas went up to investigate the church at Antioch that had just been born, we know that what he saw was people. And somehow in seeing the people, the Bible says he witnessed the grace of God. The church at Antioch put the grace of God in display, on display. So let's look carefully at this text and consider, what is it about these people that Barnabas saw that caused him to declare, this is the grace of God, operational. God's grace is at work here. And glorify His name. Well, two things. First, when we read the text, we realize that Barnabas saw people transformed by Jesus. In fact, look carefully at the last part of verse 20 and the beginning of 21, when these men came to Antioch, the Bible says they began speaking to the Greeks, the Gentiles, also not just the Jews, but the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and large numbers who believed turned to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice carefully some things about this text. First of all, Antioch was a big city. It was the third, in this day, it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And it was a cosmopolitan city where east met west. It was a center of idolatry. It was a cesspool of immorality. It was famous for its sexual immorality. There were all manner of deception and delusion and depravity in this city. It was a dark place. And when these people persecuted, fled Jerusalem, found themselves in Antioch, the Bible says they began to speaking to people about the Lord Jesus. Anyone who would listen. Not just the Jews, but to the Gentiles also. Don't be confused by the word in my translation that says preaching. Preaching the Lord Jesus. It would be wrong for you to imagine that they gathered up people in some sort of arena and had a Billy Graham crusade and somebody was a great preacher. This is a word, euangelizo, evangelism. They were good newsing. It doesn't describe preaching a sermon like I'm doing to you now. They were sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus with people. Speaking to them, sharing the good news. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a considerable number, look what the text says, believed and turned to the Lord. Remember when Jesus came announcing the kingdom of God is at hand and preaching the gospel? Do you remember what he said? Repent and believe. What did these people do? They believed and they turned to the Lord. They repented. It's a word that describes such a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, such a work of God in their lives that they turned, they changed away from their old life to their new life. They repented. Their lives were changed by the power of God and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible is telling us when Barnabas got there, what did he see? That he described as the grace of God on display. He saw people transformed by Jesus. When he saw those people, he said, I just witnessed the grace of God. I had a marvelous experience a few weeks ago while I was preaching Falls Creek. Late in the week, after the service, I came down off the platform, and there standing, waiting for me, was my old friend, Mike Pickens. You've heard me talk about Mike before, probably. Mike is the first adult I ever led to Christ. It was over 25 years ago. We were both in our early 20s. And I accidentally visited his house. And while I was there, it was a trailer house, shared the gospel with him. And a week later, he made a commitment to Christ. He believed in the Lord Jesus and turned to him. And God did a work in his life. And he has faithfully followed the Lord Jesus all these 25 years. I come off the platform and there he stands. With a big smile on his face, his wife, both his children, their children. He just wanted me to see him and celebrate. And God had been so good to him. And late after talking to them, I was walking back to my room there at Falls Creek, the place God called me. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, Hans, since I called you over 30 years ago, you've done a lot of good things. Had a lot of neat opportunities. You pastor a great church. You've got 3 degrees in theology. You've gone and trained preachers around the world. You've been the chairman of the trustees of both your alma maters. You've built buildings. And that is all a hill of beans. To use the language of the Apostle Paul. Wood, hay, straw. Compared to what you did when you told Mike Pickens about the Lord Jesus. This displays the grace of God. People whose lives are changed. Now listen, brothers and sisters, the bigger we get, the more the machine moves, the more vulnerable we are for losing our focus on what is our central purpose, which is to display the glory of His grace. And how do we do that? We speak to people the good news of Jesus so that their lives can be changed. If that's not happening, then we're just glorifying ourselves. We're magnifying the machine. We're going through the motions. But if week by week and month by month and year after year, we can stand up here, men and women and boys and girls who once were lost, but now they're found. They were blind, but now they see. Their lives have been transformed because we told them about Jesus. Then that is God's grace on display. And that's fulfilling our purpose, to display the grace of God. Barnabas saw people transformed by Jesus. But there's something else here that's even more challenging. When we look carefully at this text, we realize that when Barnabas said, "I think I've just witnessed the grace of God," he wasn't merely talking about peoples transformed by Jesus. He was talking about these people together in Jesus Christ. You noticed as we study the text that the emphasis here is out in Antioch. In Antioch, for the first time, Jews and Gentiles who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are together. And did you notice how in verse 23 the text emphasizes that when Barnabas got there and saw it, he rejoiced and he encouraged them all, Luke says. Not just the Jews, but all of them. Because what Barnabas saw that so impressed him, that he declared as the grace of God on display, is these Jews and Gentiles together in Christ Jesus. And Antioch's the first place where that happened. Listen, let me make sure you understand the overview of the book of Acts, the story of the spread of the gospel. Just before Jesus ascended, he said, "Now you be my witnesses, making disciples of all the nations." Remember, he said, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, uttermost parts of the earth. Do you know what the church in Jerusalem did? They stayed where they were, and they embraced who they were. They shared the gospel with other Jewish people. No more. And God began to confront them with that. Remember, he sent Philip down to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he gave Peter a vision, and he went to Cornelius, a Roman, and shared the gospel. And in the first half of chapter 11, we see the church in Jerusalem getting together and said, "You know what? It's obvious because of what happened with Peter and Cornelius that the Gentiles can be saved." But you know what they did? They kept sharing the gospel with Jews. They would not cross that barrier. So the Lord Jesus went up to Antioch and started another church that would. And the whole center of Christianity shifted from Jerusalem to Antioch. The thing that Barnabas observed when he went to Antioch that blew his mind, that he said, "You know what, this is not what these guys have done. This is what God has done. I'm witnessing the grace of God." Jews and Gentiles overcoming that barrier and being in church together. Most of you have been around the Bible enough to understand that it's hard to overstate the division that existed between Jews and Gentiles. This was a national, racial, ethnic, cultural, religious division. These people had nothing in common. They didn't really even want to talk to each other. And here they are together in the church at Antioch. Why? Because Jesus was the Lord of all of them. Not only were they transformed by Jesus, but they were together in Christ Jesus. And they were displaying the grace of God. If you have a Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 3. If not, I've got the words up here on the screen. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, who we'll learn next week, spent a lot of his time, really began his ministry, in some ways formed his theology at Antioch. And what God did in Antioch is always in the back of Paul's mind. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 is writing to the church at Ephesus and saying, "You know what? God called me to preach the gospel, to display his wisdom and grace, to show what we didn't know before, but we know now, that is, Gentiles are our brothers and sisters in Christ." He says all that in verse 1 through 7. And then look at verse 8. Paul says, "To me, the very least of all the saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So that..." Wait. "That That grammar introduces a purpose clause. We're talking about why, right? So that's going to answer the why question. Why is Paul called to be a minister of the gospel? Why does the church exist? So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. This blows my mind. This is a place in Scripture that at the same time makes me feel small and makes church feel so significant. It makes me feel small because I don't have any idea what Paul's talking about here. The rulers and authorities in the heavenlies? I mean, there's something going on. There are things going on in God's creation that I don't fully even understand. I'm not aware of. And he's using the church. He says the church displays, not just to the people around us, but to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies, the manifold wisdom of God. So when we gather, when we function together, people transformed and together in Christ Jesus, we glorify His name, not just on earth, but in heaven, displaying His grace and His power and His manifold wisdom. Manifold is a word that the New Testament seldom uses. When the Old Testament Hebrew is translated into Greek, it's the word used to describe Joseph's coat. Many colors. Manifold means many colored, many shaded. It's a word that speaks to beauty and diversity. And the Apostle Paul clearly has this in mind because he's talking about Jews and Gentiles coming together. He's saying, because of the sin of Adam, the whole world is messed up and alienated, fragmented. But in Christ Jesus, God in His wisdom and power is bringing it all back together, and the church displays His wisdom, the glory of His grace. So you see, what did Barnabas see when he got the Antioch? He saw people transformed by Jesus together in Christ Jesus, fulfilling their God-given purpose of displaying God's grace. And listen, we're a great church. I'm so proud to be your pastor, and we do so many things well. I'm putting my finger on two things we don't do very well this morning. Speak to lost people the good news of Jesus Christ, and bring in people who are different than us. Let me tell you, a church can do a lot of good stuff, but if we fail to see lives transformed by the gospel, and if we fail to reach out to people who wouldn't ordinarily be together, then we're in terrible danger of glorifying ourselves and not the grace of God. Ooh, look at that church. What a great church. If that's what people say, we failed. Ooh, what a staff they have. What good people they are. What great programs. Oh, the music. If that's what people say, we've missed it. We wanted to say, look at the grace of God on display in the lives of those people. And that happens when we can show people whose lives have been changed and people who would not normally be together, together. This is the why. To display God's grace. You ever been to watch a bull rider at a rodeo? It might be hard for you to believe, I know it is, but I have not always been a sophisticated urban dweller. And you know, when you have a bull riding event, those cowboys, they draw the bull that they're going to ride. And you would kind of think at first that they would want to draw the tamest bull in the pen, right? Kind of an old, broken down, weak, gentle bull, right? I mean, you kind of think maybe that's what they would want. But that's not what they want. They want to draw the meanest, orneriest, biggest, strongest bull of all. Because the greater the challenge, the greater they can show their ability. Listen, we're suffering as a church in America because we've come out of a couple of generations where we had this messed up idea that said, you know what? The easiest way to do church is to gather together a bunch of people who are all just alike. Because if we're all just alike, same age, same preferences, same color, same background, then it'd be easier to get along. And we can get bigger and bigger and bigger. Where's the glory in that? We display His grace. We glorify His name when we can present lives transformed in Jesus and lives together through Christ Jesus. So that people will say about us what they said about the church at Antioch. The hand of the Lord is with them. That's our ambition. To display the grace of God. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. And we confess that it challenges us this morning. Forgive us for forgetting the reason why. Getting too wrapped up in what and how and when. Forgive us for being self-absorbed when it comes to church. Lord, we cry out and do desire a great harvest where people would be saved and we would speak the name of Jesus. And our friends and family members and neighbors and people all around this city would come to know Him. And we'd be able to present for Your glory lives that have been changed. And Father, I pray that You would tear down barriers and divisions. And that You'd help us to be a church marked by beauty of diversity that glorifies Your name. Father, I pray that we would display Your grace. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a simple little chorus tonight as invitation. In my life, Lord, in Your church, Lord, be glorified. And You know this morning through the Word that much of that prayer is, Lord, use me to tell people about Jesus. Use me to embrace and incorporate people who are not like me. Be glorified. Is that really something you want to pray? Some of you here are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and members of this church, but you realize today that it's been a long time since you've opened your mouth and spoken to someone the name Jesus. Share the good news with them. Would you make a commitment to that? Some of you here, deep in your heart, you're forced to confess that you still hold on to prejudice, that there are barriers in your heart and mind against people that are not like you. You want to deny it, but you know it's true. Would you let that go? Would you confess that sin and ask the blessed Lord Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness? In a moment, we're going to stand together and sing this song. And as we do, some of you have come forward here to join our church, and we're happy to receive you. Some of you may come forward here because you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You're ready to believe in Him and turn from your old way of life so that He can make things new. You come and we'll help you with that personal commitment to Christ. Many of you may want to come during this time. We've got all the time in the world. You may want to come during this time and use these front steps as a prayer altar. Confessing your sin and asking the Lord Jesus to form you based on His Word. To move you to share the gospel and to embrace all people. To make you a person and to make us a people that display the grace of God. Would you ask the Lord to do that? You may be able to do that right there in your seat. But if you'll come forward here and kneel with that prayer, it will challenge you and it will encourage the people around you. Humble yourself. Come and pray in response to God's Word and God's Spirit. That you'd share the gospel with the people around you and embrace people, even those who are different than you. God speaks and now we answer. Let's stand together and sing and you come.